Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is study number 4 in our verse by verse study through the book of Exodus. And we are in Exodus chapter 4, verse 27 today. Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we are about to read in Jesus' name. Amen. Picking up right where we left off, Exodus 4, 27. And the Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. Aaron hears from God in Egypt. God tells him to go to Mount Sinai and meet with Moses. And so Aaron, after a few days' journey, arrives at the mountain where Moses has seen the burning bush and talked with God. Verse 28. So Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. Moses fills Aaron in on all God commanded. Aaron is his partner, and so Aaron needs to know these things. 29. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. Moses and Aaron, go to Egypt and call a meeting of all the heads of the tribes of Israel. Verse 30. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. Moses' staff turns into a serpent. His hand becomes leprous. And then returns back to health, too. And he also must have had some water from the Nile, which God then turned into blood. 31. So the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. They were reminded of God's goodness and God's concern, and it caused them to worship. After all that suffering, at last, something good seems to be on the horizon. They're told that God cares about them, and that he will deliver them from their suffering and from Egypt. And they worship God in response. Chapter 5, verse 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." Moses' knees may have been shaking and his voice may have been cracking, but he spoke the holy word of God. And he did it without apology. "Let my people go, Pharaoh." He delivered the message that God told him to deliver. And you know what? That's good enough. Verse 2. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. Who is the Lord?" Well, Pharaoh, after 10 plagues, you will not be asking that question anymore, I'll guarantee you. Verse 3. So they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." In other words, Pharaoh, if you don't let us obey our God, he may plague us. And then you'd lose your slaves anyway. And will you notice that they say, "Please"? That's nice, I guess. We ought to be polite when we give out the word of God, and they were. In verse 4, it says, "Then the king of Egypt said to them, 'Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor.'" Some of the elders came to Pharaoh with Moses and Aaron, evidently. Maybe Pharaoh heard about that meeting with all the Israeli leaders. That's a possibility too. But either way, time is money to Pharaoh. And if the slaves are not working, the king is losing money. That's why he tells them to get back to work. Verse 5. And Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor." Pharaoh had one thing on his mind, and that was money. "Don't talk to me about God and what he wants. All I know is the slaves aren't working and I'm losing money, so get back to work. Verse 6. So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, the taskmasters were Egyptians, and the officers of the foremen were Israelites who worked under them. And these are their orders from Pharaoh. Verse 7. You shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. Straw was mixed. It was mixed in with the bricks to make the bricks strong. Now, up to now, the Egyptians provided straw for the Hebrews as they made the bricks. But now they have to go out and they have to find their own straw. And then notice verse 8. This is the bad part. And you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. I guess Pharaoh just did not understand how anyone could actually want to go and worship the Lord. You know, there has to be some other reason for you guys wanting to take off work. And he just figures that it's because they are lazy. So Pharaoh says, I'll show you. I'll make you work twice as hard. Verse 9. Let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words. In other words, I'm going to make the Israelites work so hard, they're going to work so hard that they won't have time to listen to lies about some God setting them free, or them leaving their work to worship that God of theirs. So I'll show them. Look at verse 10. And the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. The slave drivers and their foremen went out to the places where they supervised the Israelites. Once there, they gave them the bad news about the straw. And notice verse 11. Go get yourself straw where you can find it, yet none of your work will be reduced. Beg for it, scavenge for it, get a night job and buy it, but get it, or you are in trouble. 12. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. They could not find regular straw, so they picked the little stems that were stuck in the ground after the crops were harvested. 13. And the taskmasters forced them to hurry, saying, fulfill your work, your daily quota, as when there was straw. They were working like dogs already, but the taskmasters were on their backs, demanding more and more. Do more, do it better, do it faster. 14. Also the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick, both yesterday and today, as before? It was the job of the Hebrew supervisors to make sure that the slaves met their quota, and since they did not meet their quota, the supervisors were beaten. Why didn't you do it? 15. Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, why are you dealing thus with your servants? The supervisors complained to the king. Man, they must be desperate to do that. You know, most kings put their executioners in charge of the complaint department. Verse 16. There is no straw given to your servants. And they say to us, make brick. And indeed, your servants are beaten. But the fault is in your own people. King, your policy is flawed. You command us to do the impossible, then you beat us when we don't do it. 17. But he said, you are idle. Idle. Therefore you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Pharaoh's command to make bricks without straw is foolish. And his accusing them of being lazy is just brainless. Pharaoh thinks he's showing them who's boss. You know, he's teaching them a lesson, he thinks. What he is doing is building up wrath for the day of God's wrath. Verse 18. Therefore go now and work, for no straw shall be given you, yet you shall deliver the quota of bricks. In other words, get back to work. Tell your people to get back to work. And don't bother me with any more complaints about this matter. 19. And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble after it was said, you shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota. No justice, no mercy, and all that talk about being delivered by God seems like a million miles away. And they saw that their situation was bad. Well, I guess so. Verse 20. Then they came out from Pharaoh and they met Moses and Aaron who stood there to meet them. Boy, you talk about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. The supervisors just got chewed out. They were told that the policy will not change, which means more beatings, no doubt, and they come out of the palace, and there stand Moses and Aaron, the two men they hold responsible for matters being worse. 21. And they said to them, let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. In other words, we hope the Lord punishes you for making the king hate us. Moses was right to give them the word of God. They accepted the word of God. But now that they are suffering, well, they complain. Verse 22. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on these people? Why is it you have sent me? Moses did everything God told him to do. And he said everything that God told him to say, too. And he would like to cancel this mission right now because he doesn't understand why things are getting worse instead of better. Verse 23. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. He's saying, Lord, I've kept my end of this thing. I've done everything you told me, but you seem to be falling short on your end. Moses is talking as if God promised him smooth sailing all the way. God never said that. God said, Moses, remember, Pharaoh will not let you go until I pry you out of his hands. I don't know why Moses is so surprised. Chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. Moses feels like a failure because the king did not let the Hebrews go free. Now God says, watch what I will do, Moses, because I will force Pharaoh to set my people free. Verse 2. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. Yahweh, or Lord, means the God who finishes what he starts and does what he says. God promised the Hebrews that he'd set them free, and the setback they have experienced does not mean that God changed his mind. It does not mean God took on more than he could handle. He will do what he said, because that is the type of God that he is. Verse 4. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. In other words, the Holy Land is theirs because I promised it to them. Neither Egypt or anyone else can prevent me from keeping my promise to my people. That's just another way of God saying, trust me, Moses. I know it looks bleak, but trust me. I'm going to get the job done for you. And I think we'll stop there, and we will pick up our study in verse 5 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.